Morning, that as we come before you and before your word this morning, and to hearing your voice, and to be alert to your word this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and touch our hearts and our lives afresh through it all, through your Spirit, through your word. As we listen to it, we ask that you will empower us, equip us, and then release us into a world that is full of pain, of worry, of wounds. We pray that you will enable us through your Spirit to become channels of your love, through which your majesty flows, to become people of integrity, of humility, and of love, of grace, through which your forgiveness will be known to many. Lord, to that aim, we want to hear your word. We want to put it into practice of our lives day by day. To that, we offer our worship this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We are through our series of Fearless Faith this morning, and just gone the threshold last week, over the halfway, and this morning we're long over halfway, really, because this is part nine. So we got two more messages in this, and then that's it. And this morning we're looking at generous faith. Usually when we think of generosity, we think usually of that. There's a few money. That's not bad. For a day there. I will forget about it, but put them back. It's not about that. Only it's not about that only. Generosity, it's, I believe, a gift that God has given to the world, to the people, especially to Christians, to transform the world. Okay, that's part of it through which we transform the world, through money, but it's also through our gifting, it's also through our expertise, our skills, and so on. And this is the angle that I'm going to approach this message this morning. Generosity, it has to do with money, but not is not all about money. It is about having a generous spirit that blesses the world, transforms the world there. And you will see where I'm going to go with this in the message this morning. It's going to be a short message, and I'm going to share it with one other person this morning. Towards the end. So let me do the reading. First of all, from Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to just read a few verses from beginning verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eyes is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And it's interesting that he highlights there God and money, as the money seems to be the number one enemy against our devotion and intimacy to God. In the scripture somewhere else it says that it's not the money, the problem is the love of money that is the root of all problems. So let's put that in context, because there's nothing wrong with being rich and being a Christian and loving God. It is the way we're going to use that money, the way we're going to employ that money for our either self benefit or for blessing and transforming people's lives. So I just want to say that from the very beginning. Now, is usually what the scripture tells us is that if we want God's blessing in our lives, if we want the power of God in our lives, if you want the anointing of God through your life, through your ministry, your life must be built on three things only. Three things that I personally have characterized my ministry over the years, and three things that have been foundational to do and be where I am today, and to stand in this place to be able to empower, to equip, and share with you God's story. Those three things are called integrity, number one. Number two is humility, and number three is generosity. If you mess with one of those up, especially with the first one, with integrity, if you lost integrity, you lost trust, you lost your broken relationships, you've hurt people, you lost almost everything. Integrity is not possible without humility. When we walk humbly with God, it means that we walk in integrity, intimacy with Him, respecting one another and loving God. Now, when those two are not right, then also it affects the spirit of generosity within us. And again, I mean generosity, not just money, but giving ourselves to the work of God, giving ourselves and our talents to the mission of God, to whatever He called us to be and do for the purposes that He has for us. And there are these are three great antidotes to the three great temptations of life. To start them, to materialism, to whatever it is. But in the Bible there are about 7,000 promises. 7,000 promises about God's love to us. There are more promises related to generosity in the Bible than any other subject. And when I say generosity, I am saying more than just money. What is generosity? Why is God so interested in generosity? Why is He so interested in us learning how to be generous to one another? And I like to answer some of those questions this morning. Why is God so interested that we may be generous? Look at this as a statistic. God so loved the world that He gave. Now, if you look at throughout Scripture, and I've done this a while back, not now, but the word believe is found 272 times throughout the Scripture, both Old and New Testament. The word pray, 371 times, both Old and New. The word love, 714. The word give, look at that, 2,552. The Lord so, God so loved the world that He gave. And I think there is something that the Lord would like to teach us through the spirit of generosity that shows His character and shows His love. The Lord gave. And He urges us to become people that have hearts filled or full of a generous spirit. God so loved the world. You hear all this song about love. And really, when you hear these songs, pop, rock, whatever they are, it's not about love, that's lust. Love has nothing to do with getting and whatever it is there. It's love is about giving. Lust is about getting. And God wants us to learn to be like Him, to have a very generous spirit. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we may not perish but have eternal life. His giving, His generous spirit to us as a humanity, as people, has echoes in eternity, has bought us with a price. God was prepared to give. And so, let me look very briefly with you this morning what our generous spirit does when we put it in the arena, even in the sanctuary of worship for God, but in the arena which God has created called the world today. Our generous spirit not only blesses others, but transforms lives. And so, generosity really honors God. If nothing else that I do with my life, if a generous spirit is shown and it is displayed to other people, it is enough to show that I honor God. And the Lord's Prayer starts, "Hallowed be Thy name." One of the ways in which we can glorify God, it is by having a generous spirit. The Bible says you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Not to the pastor, not to the church, not to any dream or whatever any church has as such, but it is to the will of God. Generosity, number two, draws me closer to God. There is something that when we become generous that says it's not just about me, but it is also about people. There is something that happens at that moment in our lives that brings us closer to God. And no surprise, since God is so generous, his whole being is about giving, 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 giving grace, giving forgiveness, giving mercy, giving compassion, giving his only son. And I look at that poster there at the back. It's probably the only poster that we got with scripture and those two, I guess. Yeah, those two too. But look at those two at the end. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That's exactly what brings glory to God and brings intimacy with him. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Whether it is that we give to our church, whether it is that we support other people, like in my case, supporting some pastors. I've never said this before from a pulpit, but sometimes when, if I get a fee from funerals or weddings, I share them with some other pastors in other countries or whatever it is. Generosity brings us closer to God. Generosity also makes us more and more like Jesus. Generosity, because the most generous person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. When I am generous and I display a spirit of generosity, it shows people what Jesus is like. It shows that I'm not stingy, that I'm not, it's not just about me, that I'm not selfish. The greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. And the more godly you become, the more generous you are. Again, this is not about money. Money is part of it. But this is about our gifting and all that God has given us to bless the world, all that he called us to, and the purpose that he has for us. And Luke says, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. In other words, to live a holy life is to be a giver. And it really makes me like Christ. Generosity, it's here in the West, and I need to add that very gently, in the world in which we live here and now, it's the number one medicine antidote to materialism. Really, really is. Did you know that if we were just this country to give a quarter of all its, what's the word, of all its budget that this country has, a quarter of it, all the famine in Africa will be gone. Just a quarter of the budget that this country has. Just a quarter of it. Money, it is generosity, is about transforming lives. And that's what it could do. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our, for what? For our enjoyment. Command them to be generous and willing to share. Willing to share. And this way they will take hold of the life that is true life. I love that version of the scripture. It's really a cure for materialism. We live in a world that is all get me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And it's all about me getting, 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 getting. Generosity shows a new way of life that displays the character of God in a world that is all about getting. Generosity displays, dare I say, my faith. My faith in a loving God, in a compassionate, a graceful God. Every time you give, it demonstrates your faith. You are generous because of your faith, the scripture says in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. In Malachi, it says, bring your whole tithe to my storehouse. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it. Generosity demonstrates my faith. Number six, generosity reveals who really I am. really does. My character, my purposes for life, and really my whole being a relationship with or without Christ. Jesus said, if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, in other words, you don't manage what God has entrusted you with well, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And the answer is nobody. Your responsibility and rewards in heaven are going to be built on how you handle what God gave us right now. All the stewardship, all the gifts that God has given us will one day be responsible before God or how we handle them. From the gift of joy, of compassion, of generosity, of gentleness, of forgiveness to all the others, including, of course, our materialistic world and gifts that we have. Generosity, Scripture says that it brings God's blessing. Generous people will be blessed. Now, I'm not, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm preaching about generosity and not about prosperity gospel. I'm not sitting here to say that if you give, the Lord will bless you. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. The Scripture says that generous people will be blessed. We don't know how that blessing comes from God. I'm going to give a tenner, hoping that the Lord is going to bless me with a Ferrari. That's not how it works. Not at all. God's blessing comes to us in different ways. It might be that as I give, whether it's my talent, whether it's my money, to the work of God, someone's life is transformed, is renewed, comes to know Christ. That's the blessing that comes. But nevertheless, God will bless that work as you portray and display a generous spirit. And number 8, and last one. Blessing brings honor to God, but you'll be also bring honor to you one day in the presence of God as you come before Him. This will be recognized, you good and faithful servant. It will be a reward in heaven by being praised, I believe, by our God and Savior Jesus Christ with how we have stewarded our gifting, our talents. I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. And this way your generosity stores up reward for you in heaven. 4 times in Scripture, Jesus says, stores up treasures in heaven. Every single gospel, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke has it. How do you do that? How do you kind of bank in heaven now for eternity? It is by investing your talents, your gifting, all that you are, even your materialism, as I said, in people. In people. One of the most important things that Jesus said is this. I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others. This is one of the most important things that Jesus ever said. And we must be astonished, and we must be really display such an incredible, generous gift to those around us in such a way that they will stand back and say, this is indeed loving, generous people that I have ever seen. Generosity is not just a strategy for adding some kindness to my feeling good factor, or I give a little bit because it makes me feel good and the Lord will look on me with mercy. That's not what generosity is all about. Generosity is not just a strategy from adding a little bit of kindness to the world. It's a strategy for transforming the world. It's a really revolutionary strategy. Generosity is not just about making the world a better place. Of course, there are people and Bob Gelders of this world who could give millions of this much better than we can do as a church. But we can get something else to offer more than Bob Gelders of this world have. No disrespect to Bob Gelders. We get to share God's grace and forgiveness with people. And this is where God called us to be generous in our spirit with one another. Generosity is about bringing the new kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven now, not tomorrow, not in eternity. That's what generosity does. That's what we've been praying for the last few weeks. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? I believe, I might be a heretic, but generosity is the biggest ever answer to that prayer. When I display generosity, God's kingdom happens here and now. Generosity is not just about making people think that Christians are nice. It's about helping people see that God is good, compassionate, forgiving, responsive to their cries. Generosity is or should be a central activity for any disciple of Jesus Christ like us who are making disciples and pointing them out to Jesus. Our generosity is to remind people of God's love and generosity to us. Our generous forgiveness of those who fail us, who disappoint us, who betray us. Our generous giving to those in need. Our generous kindness to those who are struggling with life. And generous welcome of those who are without a place to belong. Displays, portrays, and makes the heart of God fill with joy. I believe that the gift of generosity in church, in our lives as individuals, in our families, is one of the most powerful gifts that the Lord has given to his church and to us as Christians to display his love to a world that is so much in need of free grace, love, and healing. We can only do this empowered by the Spirit of God and in response to God's grace and mercy to us. Think of this way. Jesus said, and I'm going to close this before I told you someone is coming to share with us about God's generous spirit to us as a life and fellowship in church here over the years of 155 years, but also to the present and to the future. Jesus said this, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens, by the way, this is from the Message. The earth does it all without his help. First, a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps. Harvest time. How can we picture God's kingdom then? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go, yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches, eagles nest in it. My brothers and sisters, what I want to say to you this morning through this message is this. Generosity is a seed, or as a seed, is an invitation for us to try something without worrying about the outcome. Our obligation from God and mandate from Christ is to just plant the seed and let God do the rest. May the Lord bless you with a generous spirit. Steve, thank you.